Hello there, guys. My name is George Patterson.
My name is Tony Reid.
And I'm Andy Reid.
And you're listening to The Dugout, which is a podcast brought to you by the legendary Brown Arrow Dugout Club, Celtic Supporters Club. And we're now making a return appearance after many years on the sidelines.
I'd say 13, 14 to be exact.
To be exact.
Sorry, 13 and a half years.
I think it's about less time than that.
I think it is as well. I think Tony was talking absolute bunkum. Well, there you go. You're going to hear a lot of bunkum when you're listening to this podcast. Basically, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking a lot about something very close to our hearts.
Cholesterol.
Something that is actually there before the cholesterol set in. And that is namely Celtic Football Club. So what we're going to talk about this time, and what we're going to start, is we're going to talk about the top threes and best moments and stuff like that for Celtic, basically. And where we're going to start now is we're going to start with their top three players. Now, Andy's going to start here with his top three players of all time, or the time he's been watching Celtic. That's it, Andy.
Well, obviously, with regards to Celtic, there's great players throughout the history of the club. For example, Jimmy Johnston, Charlie Tully. In terms of players that I've watched at Celtic Park or have been able
to know, Reggie Winkel,
Mr. Slaven, in terms of players that I've watched or been alive to be.
I'd get a picture, Andy, before.
Alright, calm down. Obviously, Henrik Larsson's up there.
So that's Johnson or Larsson.
Fantastic player. Danny Lagrane is a player that I think was world class. Well, he was world class, let's face it. Brilliant player. I would like to have seen him score a couple of goals.
He did score a few goals. He scored about 8 goals.
Did he?
Aye.
In his time at Celtic?
In his time at Celtic. In nearly 700 games, I think he scored 8 goals.
I actually saw him playing not that long ago. Obviously it was a bounce game, I think it was a charity game or something, and he was
still better than professional.
He could still have cut it in the third division for a Queen of the South or a Cowden Beath or something like that.
So your three would be
Danny McGrain, Henrik Larsson,
Jimmy Johnson.
And Jimmy Johnson.
Not a bad combination. Thomas?
Not bad. Well, so it's players we have watched.
Not necessarily.
Not
necessarily your top all time tops from Celtic players.
Okay, then. Let me think. I'd say, and you say Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, got to be there. He's voted the greatest ever Celt. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yes.
So I'd say number three. Jimmy Johnson.
So you'd be down at number three. It's your choice.
I go on players I have seen.
Okay.
I've only seen video clips of Jimmy Johnson. And the last time I seen him, he was in Bears Bar. That's where the flippers went. I say number three, Jimmy Johnson. Then I would say a player a lot of people don't really like. Well, not really saying don't really like, just don't have a lot of time for these days.
Who would that be?
Reggie Blanket. Nah, I'm only joking. No, Jackie McNamara.
Have he been your all time top three?
Yes.
Controversial shit.
Yeah, I have to say.
Right, Thomas is on the glue again, but that's his
approach. I think his son was better than him, but.
Well, the reason I say Jackie McNamara is because he came out of Celtic when I really started watching Celtic, and I bought my season ticket and
won all the championships.
Well, he came out of a transitional period for Celtic, and he played his part he played in it. He was a very fair player. He was consistent every week. And I was very disappointed when Celtic let him go. He could play in the midfield, he could play in defence.
But alternatively, you could say, did Celtic let him go? Or did Jackie McNamara decide to take his testimonial money and fuck off down the road to Wolves as soon as the cheque was clear?
I think
but that's two schools of thinking.
That's right. You know? Celtic never treated the guy with the respect he was due, in my opinion.
That's fair.
That's your opinion.
My opinion of Jackie McNamara was he was a quite a limited player, he was a good squad man. Good guy to have around, they shouldn't have made him captain. I think that went to his head. And he was offered, well, I don't know how much it was offered, but from my take on it, he was offered what a squad man at Celtic at the time would have been offered. And that's all he was, a good squad man, a handy utility player. He was never anywhere near the level of.
Henrik
Larsson. Oh, you have not picked the number one player.
Ah, okay.
My number one player has to be
Henrik Larsson.
No, see, you're putting words in my mouth again. Well, you're not saying that.
I wasn't alluding
to it.
Okay, but I'll tell you what. If it's no Henrik Larsson, who is it then?
It's Henrik of Larsson.
There's a nice comeback here, Thomas. So Henrik Larsson,
it's got to be guy who brought me to tears on many occasions, tears of joy and also tears of sadness.
I've got to get in there. Well,
I'm actually filling up here, I think number number. But
Henrik Larsson, good one.
Got to be.
All right, well, my top three. Very, very tough to call. I could pick a few guys like John Thompson, who fucking gave his life for Celtic, Jimmy McGrory.
I don't think he meant to give
his life. He went today and said, nobody back today. I'm going to give my life to Celtic.
A little bit of respect for a Celtic legend.
I'm not dissing the guy.
He died at a Rangers player's feet.
Aye, I know that.
He got belted off. Carted off to Victoria and died. So the Prince of Goalkeepers would be high up anybody's list. Jimmy McGrory, 5'6" and one of the best headers of a ball you've ever seen. Unfortunately, there's no much footage of Jimmy McGrory these days, but a legendary player and still holds the all-time scoring record for a British football club. Outstanding amount of goals, I think he scored 550 goals for Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
By far the number one goal scorer of all time. I'm going to pick guys again who I've seen. Because I've got personal recollections and personal memories of these guys, and the number three man would be Jimmy Johnson. So Jimmy Johnson would be number three as well. Loved the guy, he's a Celt through and through, one of the greatest entertainers. Number two for me would be the guy who's just ahead of Henrik Larsson in the all-time scoring record. He's number two in the scoring charts. He's also number two in my choice of best players, and that'd be Bobby Lennox. I love Bobby Lennox, and I think if he was playing today, he'd be worth about £25-30 million.
Yeah, easy. I have to agree with that.
Yep. Fast, great in the air, and 273 goals for Celtic. You cannot argue with that. And a Celtic man through and through. And he played in the first team for approximately 18 years.
Can I interject a new story about Bobby Lennox?
Fire.
He was playing for a local charity team, Duffler Pumperson or something.
Duffler Pumperson?
I remember. And they were heading into Manchester for a game, and they were all singing songs, Celtic songs, and all of a sudden Bobby Lennox apparently started. You were at the sax after the first couple of years. The sax was going. How's the sax going?
It was
old.
I don't even want to sing this one.
You've been great. So he got to that bit and he stopped. And Chet Young goes like, yeah, Bobby, come on, stop singing. So I don't know the rest of the words. We usually score, but this time we shut the bathrooms up.
That's Bobby Lennox for you, man. Absolute legend. The Ayrshire fella for Sol Coats. I love the fella. One of my favourites here it is. Number one for me has to be the only man who made me cry as an adult in football, Henrik Larsson. I burst into tears when he scored that goal against Boa Vista. It just caught me unaware. I wasn't even at the game. I was in the toilet at the time and got really frustrated. I went to the toilet. I wasn't frustrated about being in the toilet.
Sexually frustrated at that point? Is that why you were in the toilet?
But it was a massive release.
Oh, right.
So the dam was burst. I came back into the living room just as Lisa, who's upstairs sleeping at the moment, said, "Come on, go on, go." And I could see Larson pulling a 1-2 with Hearts at the edge of the box. The ball brought back to Larson off balance, and he just managed to squeeze the ball. Wrong foot the goalkeeper, he just couldn't get his fingertips to it, and Larson scored the goal that took us to Seville. And for me, that is one of the greatest moments of supporting Celtic, and I just burst into tears because I knew that I'd be going to Seville with Andy and Brian Reid. And it was a very, very powerful emotional moment for me. And Henrik Larsson is just by far the best professional I've seen in my time watching Celtic since 1973. The consummate professional he's got us in his heart. So that's a top three then. If anyone's interested in debating those top threes with us, we'll give you an email address, hopefully at the end of the show. And you can email us and tell us we're talking bollocks or you fully agree with us. So we're moving on now to best goals. We're going to talk about best goals, one from Celtic and one from any other club, any other match kind of thing. So we're going to start this time with Andy.
Oh, yes. I would say, in terms of Celtic, the goal that I'm going to mention is actually a shouting goal, in all respect. But the ramifications of it were monumental. And that was the game against Boa Vista you mentioned earlier. It was a goal that, in essence, Henrik Larsson would have been proud of, in respect that it didn't really command any skill to put the ball in the net.
Well, it was aesthetically not very pleasing, but...
But it was, I'm sure he's immensely proud of what it achieved. And when I was watching the game, I was in a rugby bar in Edinburgh, in York Place, straight across from the Stand Comedy Club, where I was performing that night. And I'd done a gig.
Shameless plug.
I'd done a gig which was garbage because...
nobody was interested in watching it.
Exactly. And as soon as it finished, I ran over to this bar.
That wasn't nobody was interested in watching it because you were playing it, just nobody was interested in comedy that night.
Oh, both. So... I was in this bar and the ball went out of the net and I dropped to my knees.
Was there a net in the bar?
Well, it could have been.
Is that a euphemism for the ball went out of the net? Is it you see a bird out of the laughing?
So, the ball went out of the net. There was about four guys who were into rugby at the bar. They didn't even know what the game was about.
Fools.
I dropped to my knees. And these guys thought I was taking a stroke.
Did they try to help you?
No.
Typical Edinburgh middle class bastards.
Exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. Anyway, so that goal, like you, I was in tears. Ran in back into the club and was kissing people left, right, and centre. I'm just sort of.
It could have been any Friday night for you then.
Yeah, back in the 86.
Okay. And now, your other goal?
Other goal.
From any other club?
1978. I was staying in Kennishead Flats, 15 up the first block. I was on the brown tweed couch with my brother.
Slightly
and my
more
father.
Information than we really need to know, but continue.
Making Scotland were playing Holland, and Archie Gemmell scored his magical masterpiece of a goal. And my father jumped up, screaming in his loud voice. I was a kid at the time, and it sounded very scary, and I got a fright. But I was really glad that I was actually there to witness the goal live, as it were. Because it was a fantastic goal. Turned out to be the goal of the tournament. Brilliant goal, never forget it. Never
also
forget
remembered it. By train spotting fans as well all over the world.
Exactly.
Thomas,
Well, apart from all the notable entrance to this queue, you thought I was doing it the right way.
Yeah, I thought it was right.
Right, you've got the Rangers goal, the goal. You need to laugh and score against Rangers.
Which one? Which he scored?
No, I know. The goal.
Oh, the goal. The famous chip.
But I'm sick of talking about that one because everybody talks about that. And that's our favourite goal.
It's understandable why it's Cooper's favourite goal because he's fucking working a genius. I just come up.
No, I know that, but the only I am going to pick is my number one Celtic goal.
Fair enough.
It's a Henrik Larsson goal. For me, this goal is one of the greatest goals I've ever seen. For the simple fact, the guy scored a goal from 20 yards out by passing the ball into the net, top corner of the net.
Diving, tiny
yes. Yeah. Henrik Larsson ran onto a pass from, I think it was Jeffy McMurray.
One of your favourite players of all time.
Was it? Was that, I think it was either Jackie.
A misplaced pass for Jackie.
I think it was either Jackie or, I'm not entirely sure, who was left back at that time?
Could have been Ulrik Larsson.
Well, somebody coming in for the left anyway, they played the ball along
Vida Rising.
No, it was long gone.
Played the ball along the edge of the box for Larsson to run onto it, and he hit it with the inside of his right foot and passed it across the goal into the top corner.
It was a
peach of a goal.
And no one ever mentions it.
I remember that one.
But that's my favourite Larsson goal.
Obviously your favourite Celtic goal.
Your favourite Celtic goal, aye.
What about other goal?
The other goal was a goal by George Best. I don't know who they're playing against.
I think it was Northampton Town.
How do you not even want to see it?
Because you're joined at the hip.
Alright, good. he got the ball, I think it was a cup game, and he got to hit the ball and took by about 5 or 6 players, and the goalkeeper ran it to him. And he didn't even do anything. He just kind of motioned to go one way, and the keeper fell on his arse. And he didn't even need to roll the ball in the keeper. He just milked it in the net. And then he ran out of the post, and he was hogging the post. And it turns out after that game, it became apparent that he was pissed.
So, what was the team he was playing against?
I don't know.
Andy did. It was Northampton Town. It was a legendary one. He scored 6 goals in that game.
And there you go.
He scored 6 goals.
One for each can.
One for each bottle.
I remember it's a great goal, watching an interview. I think it was something like Tommy Docherty or something, saying it was famous when he was suffering from a really bad hangover, but he was still drunk while he'd done that. What a goal.
That's legendary. It really is. Right, my ones. I'm actually, again, like Thomas, I'm not going to mention the legendary chip. The chip's on its own. It's a work of art. I can't. But we're trying to bring something fresh to the debate here, and that's not the chip. The chip is out on its own. We all agree with that. The chip is just always known as the chip. Leave it there. It's legendary.
It's ubiquitous.
Which is a joke when the people from Glasgow would go. No, the one I'm going to say is it's one for this last season just finished. We're actually in the end of July 2008 here. The season just finished. I'm going to go for Venegor at Hesselink's header at the end of the Rangers game.
2-1 game.
The 2-1 game. Stoppage time. Celtic are a ball here from being out of the Championship. I'm sitting in my living room, pissed off, depressed, the fact that we've spent this, we've thrown it away to a very workmanlike Rangers side. We've tried to play football this night, we were denied, and things, it just looked as if it was not going to happen for us, but the boys on the park never gave up. We've always played by Samaras back to Colwell. Colwell knocked it over to the south side
Caldwell is shite, but his passing's not that bad.
The pass was actually a beautiful, beautiful pass out the head beside the south stand side of Scott McDonald, who knocked it instead of going for glory, as he would have possibly been within the rights to do so, because the Scottish Times, a striker, missed a penalty. He would have been within his rights to have a crack himself, but he didn't. He just nodded it over the top of Christian Gary, and Big Man just dropped on it, headed it in the back of the net, and I went fucking conquer. I went mental. And then we started to believe for a minute. I've shut them up. This might be the moment. This could be the turning point.
Well, can I ask, you mentioned earlier that the Hendrick Boavista game brought you to tears.
It did, because that was a culmination of things, but I'm looking at the aesthetic as well as the emotional. And this year, for me, this last season, 2007-2008, that was one moment the Boavista game. This was a season's worth, and that was years and years of emotion flooding into 6 weeks. So for that tops it for me. Just my personal level. So I really enjoyed that one. As far as any other
another goal from another.
A goal, personally, if it's no Celtic, I don't give a fuck about. That's my kink. But I do like watching good football. And the goal I would pick would be from a player who was a Celtic player at the time, Kenny Dalglish. Ken Kerry, the original King, what a player. And I was in the game at the time, at Hampden Park, 1976, against England. Was that the game? I was in what would be known as the Rangers End, down the front. And
The Rangers End?
The Rangers End. Which is
the covered
terraces, and the ball got played across to Dalglish, took a touch. Mick Miles was, I can only relay this now because I've seen it on television, but at the time it just looked like little dots in the landscape. But I could see Dalglish having a shot at goal, and everybody groaned around me. I missed it. Again, I saw the wave of people move towards me. Just that everybody was excited, jumped a bit, and then they realised the ball actually went in. Don't know how it went in until I saw it in highlights later on that night, but they knew it was a goal. So that would go down as my absolute favourite non-Celtic goal.
Fantastic.
So we've covered that one quite well. We're going to now move on, because we've talked about things with the players, they love doing stuff like that, and the Larsons and those kind of guys, the Danny McGrains, the Lennoxes, they were loved and
worshipped.
But you could actually bring this one up. This could actually be quite relevant to your next to the next topic. Underrated players. What is an underrated player in your mind that played for the Hoops?
Well, I've got a few, but one that tops my list is I don't know if he's ever heard of this guy, Chucky McNamara.
Chucky McNamara. Let me show you.
Why do you want to pump
Jackie McNamara? I think you wanted to be Jackie Mac and you just couldn't manage it.
No, that's true, actually.
To be honest with you,
I'd love to go to Jackie McNamara's level.
So would I. I would have been delighted to be an absolute Diddy Washer of a player. But to be honest with you, I'm living in an area where the supporters club is actually the Jackie Mack supporters club.
That's right.
Is it? The corner.
The question is.
It's Junior.
Is it?
Right. Jackie Mack Junior.
Nice.
So Jackie Mack will be your underrated player. Right, you've mentioned Jackie Mack. You said that
right, okay,
so he's another one.
Right, let me think.
Have you got one, Andy?
I'm actually trying to think here as well. I'm waiting you guys speaking and I'm actually thinking about it.
Well, I'm going to say one that you guys might not remember back to the 70s. And I really like this guy. I thought he did a fine job for Celtic 70s and early 80s. I thought Ken McAdam.
Of course I remember him.
Tom McCadden was one of the guys he happened to be recruiting for years, and he scored a shitload of goals against Rangers. But he was never, looking back at those sides, you would never say, where is Fulham among the Colgans and the Nicholases and the Tommy Burns and the Roy Aitkins? But Tom McCadden, for me, always did a job and always managed to punt Rangers. So,
what was good about that for him was his brother was playing for Rangers, Colin McCadden.
His brother was a Jerry Savage for the
Colgans. Tell me about it.
Tom got the good looking jeans, hence the joy for Celtic. So Tom McCadden would be for me. Anything for you guys?
Let me think for a minute.
We might come back to that one a wee bit later on, but we're going to move on to best and worst moments as a Celtic fan.
Right, well, I've got to say, I've mentioned the Boa Vista. I think that's quite apparent that was a pivotal point for me as a Celtic fan.
Right.
But I'll share this one with you. This was one of the proudest moments for me as a Celtic fan. It was the first cup final I was ever at. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, 1985 against Dundee United.
Yes.
The chip of a free kick by Proven.
David Proven.
Right. Yep. They make it one each, and then the diving header by Frank McGarvey. During that game, I was in the Celtic end, and
the uncovered the goal.
Yes, the proletariat end.
Best end. <English.
laughs> So I was there, and I always remember there was a big corrugated, a big kind of chicken wire fence at the back of the Celtic end, and it was brought to the ground, and fans flooded in. So there was probably about 10-15%. More fans in the area than there should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So it was absolutely mobbed. And I'll always remember this. And I'll always be proud of the fact that I started a song. There was a... Now you get that lull in the fans.
And somebody started up.
And I shouted. I was 15.
16 or something.
Yeah, I was 15. And I shouted, "Hell! Hell!" And it just, like a disease, it just rippled through the fans. And the whole fight, and for ages, I was used to say to my good friend Paul Kerr and John Monteith, and I think Danny McCluskey, the guy who went to school, he was there as well, and all the way home, they were talking about the game. Oh, what a header by Frank McGarvey, what a flick by David Proven.
And you're like, bollocks.
And I was like, I started a song. So that was one of my proudest moments as a Celtic fan.
Worst moment
for me was when the third goal went in for Port, and we were all standing in the square watching the game in Seville. That was a downer. I don't have to see him.
No,
if you were there,
and I was standing right next to you at the time.
It needs no explanation.
It's one of those things. You knew they were coming back for us. One of those.
You felt it in the pit of your stomach. And I've got stomach problems, you know. that was a stomach churning moment.
Anyone listening to this who is an expert in elementary kind of problems, we'll need to be in the address at the end of the show. So your best moment was cup final, and the worst moment was Seville. Thomas?
Well, I would say, apart from getting to Seville and all that stuff again, great moments, but a moment that lived with me was in 1988. I was about 10 at the time, and I was the cup final against Dundee United again. I was watching it with my best mate Jerry and up in his house, and 1-0 down at the time.
Kevin Gallagher.
Yep. Great goal.
Cracking goal
was a volley for about 20 yards or something.
Sprinted by Will Lutkin and the leather bit in the top corner.
Cracking goal. And then, as you know, Frankie Boy scored, and then last minute or like 2 minutes.
Right, scored two in the last 10 or so.
Corner came in, and it all came in, and it hit it really great. But it was like a hit goal right there down the corner. What a goal, what a feeling. And I always remember my best mate's dad, Jerry, his name was as well. He nearly fell out Gary stayed in a 4.5 block tenant, and he stayed at the top. And,
which is quite a drop.
Which is quite a drop, and he was hanging out the living room windows on because it was a roasting room.
Treated
a few cans watching the game. And his neighbour, who lived in the floor, is a Rangers fan. And he was sunbathing in the garden.
Yeah, handed him.
And he almost fell out the window, and we had to grab him. He's like, help! Because he hung it that long.
Do you think he's singing Hail Hail?
But as a 10-year-old boy, that's one of the things I've never
That night I played a gig, because I was a musician at the time. Andy mentions his comedy, I'm allowed to mention my music.
It was a very good club there.
It was not a bad club, wasn't it? Seamless, almost.
You were a musician?
I was a musician.
So you're a musician?
Well, I was a working musician then. Right. I basically played this place called Chimichangas that night, up the town. West End, just off Great Western, a corner of Great Western Road, and where that cafe place is, Tribe. Right in that corner,
not far from
Bank Street,
one of the
not far from Talati Banks.
Just across the road from it. So basically, played there that night, and I was so pissed for the day, and I was just so happy and so up. That I was singing my songs, I was stamping on me. I stamped my whole, I stamped right out of my cowboy boot. One, it must be my left one, I stamped right through the sole of it. So my cowboy boot's the whole sole just burst right off, and I had to gaffer tape it up to get around him. So that was my reflection that night. But a great moment.
And from that moment on, it was Chinese sandals.
No, it was the Chinese sandals were before that. I had moved up in the world again. I was actually wearing proper leather.
Oh,
leather shoes.
Oh.
So, back to fuck off. my best moment as a Celtic fan, I have one. I have one because getting to Seville was such an important moment, and seeing 85,000 people being. In Seville, travelling there by all means, you know, fucking camels and boats and trains and buses, you name it, man. That was possibly one of the best moments. But then again, this season, winning the title on the last day of the season, prevent the Rangers winning the title, even then, went to fucking handed. And that was such an important one this year after Tommy Burns and Phil O'Donnell's death. And the impending birth of my own child, that felt quite a
emotional.
Personally emotional one, so I think I enjoyed that most. Worst moment, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing even remotely close to this. Motherwell 2005. Never ever felt as gutted about a football match as I did after that one. I couldn't sleep for about 2 days after it, I was so fucked off. So, Motherwell losing it in 2 minutes to go. Last game of the season,
and we watched that in a bar in London,
Edgware High, and it was awful. So not good at all. So that would be my worst moment.
I've still got my worst moment.
Oh, sorry, Tom. Sorry.
It was 1994.
I think I know what's coming.
The cup final, where Mr. McStay missed his penalty. I was 15, I think, at the time, 14 or 15, I can't remember. And I was at my sister's the night before, and she got me drunk. The first time, really, like, really drunk.
Took your clothes off?
Took my clothes off my husband. No, I'm not joking. No. Got me really drunk, thrown up all over the place. And so we're going to the game. It was
a really responsible person.
We should ended up marrying a hun, so what can you say?
Well, that's true. It's actually how I don't know. That night, I was fitting up. I was out working my brother and previous week, Brian, as an apprentice carpet fitter. Not apprentice, I mean, work experience.
Oh, doing an apprentice, bud?
So, work experience carpet fitting. So, I was with my sister, and I was fitting a carpet in a toilet. And, I don't know what happened, but I was cutting the carpet with a hanging blade, and I cut my horn open, So went to drunk that night again. Well, that night, next day went again. It was us three, I think. Were you doing a job?
I wasn't there. No, I was doing in London the night before. And Andy called me and says, "I've got a ticket for you if you want it." It's now at the gaming time.
So there was four of us. I think it was me, you, Brian, John McKeith and Paul. Five of us. And it was the Drew Straws. They had a spare ticket and I bought it. So I was at the first cup
final. That was probably my ticket then.
First cup final. He burst them. Sitting there, and then like pure shite game off that ball, and then Paul McStain missing a penalty. And it was one of the ones where, like, that's a shite day. I walked out and seen guys lying on the floor greeting, and his mates tried to pull them up, you know, to try and take them home. And it was just.
It was a bad day and a very bad year, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was. Well, that was, I'd say. Apart from Civil, obviously, that was the worst time.
But it's something that Civil always take me in, like the fact that they wrote there. It was a hard moment to take, but it was a brilliant moment in time for Celtic fans.
After the final whistle, they scored that goal, the third goal. As Andy said, you felt your stomach churning, I actually went to the toilet after the game. I was thrown up, and it was horrible. It was just one of the games. It was the feeling after the game. But as you say, a couple of times later, I was fine, and more congratulating ourselves for getting there and great season.
We did very well, considering that Porto side went the following season and won the Champions League. And these guys are playing for the Barcelonas and Chelseas and stuff.
Right.
These days, it was no mean feat getting as far as we did. Definitely puts Rangers' attempts at anti-football on their way to the UEFA Cup final to shame, in my opinion.
Mm.
But then again, I have an anti-Rangers agenda, so. Funny enough, yes. Do you know what I like? I would say they're just above Harry Shipman. Right, we're going to move on to, as we're talking about Rangers, we're now going to move on to something that's very close to my heart. Hated Huns, right? Huns you hate. I'm going to start off this one, and I'm going to talk about a guy I just dislike at them. He plays at the moment for Rangers, and I cannot stand this little bastard, man. I would love to see the boss scout off his napper many times while he's lying on the deck and knock on you fucking teeth out. I wish him no personal harm in the long term, but short term, I hope that his team lose miserably and he regrets scores on his own goal to make them lose and get knocked out of the cup.
You don't like this one.
Nacho Novo. Cannot stand a little fucking badge kisser. Not one of my favourite players. Has a nasty habit of scoring goals against us. Normally not deserved. He comes on. Doesn't play very well, but puts one in the back of the net, and his badge kissing antics just make me want to burn the knackers. So Nacho's my hated hunt at present. Hated hunt's been repressed. Far too many to bring up on a short hour long programme like this.
Pick one.
From the past. Andy Gorey.
I have to say, I cannot disagree in any fashion with him. That guy has hatred running through his veins. He's a very sick.
That and cholesterol.
Very sectarian person. Very, very angry, bitter man. And he's not even Scottish.
Yeah.
Andy Gorham, snowball Andy Gorham. Do you know that story?
No, I do not.
Is it libelous? We'll see it alleged then.
We'll broadcast this. I will be able to just say, our ex-Rangers goalkeeper.
Yes, not naming names. I have heard,
allegedly,
from a good source,
allegedly,
that a famous ex-Rangers goalkeeper likes snowballing. If anyone doesn't know what snowballing is.
I don't think this is really the podcast to talk about the merits of snowballing.
Okay then.
But it's a rather disgusting habit that good people shouldn't really partake in.
Snowballing, I always thought snowballing was drinking low alcohol beverage.
Moving swiftly. Right.
My gran used to drink snowballs.
That's why.
I'll be having a wee word with your grandad about that. Right, hated ones.
I have to say, I hate the two guys that you mentioned.
Hate's a bad word. Hate's a horrible word. Yeah. I hate Rangers for making me hate them. There you go. But anyway.
I used to hate and still have a strong disliking for Ali McCoist.
What, not a cheeky chappy Ali?
I think
Housewife's favourite.
Yeah, I think behind the veneer of his smuts lies a man who loves to, at any cost, turn over Celtic. Last year, I remember, Kuzan elbowed one of the Celtic players, McManus, to the point where he was
stretchered off unconscious.
Unconscious, and he was standing at the side laughing and making light of a subject that could have been suggested that he was talking about the actual injury. However, he was making light of something at a time when the player could have been seriously injured. To me, that highlights the guy's malice when it comes to Celtic. Historically, players that are famous puns who I hate, I've got to say, the
some little fart,
the QC, Finlay,
up to a reason.
Yes, I think that man is in a very powerful position in society, and I think for him to promote hatred or
defend hatred,
is very evil, very evil in respect that, as I said, he is in a powerful position to influence people
in Scottish society,
and he chooses to promote sectarianism and encourage sectarianism. I think that's very evil and very irresponsible.
Okay, Thomas?
Can I just say, I don't particularly like Ali McCoist myself. However, the incident Andy is referring to, I remember it, and I do not think for 1 minute he was laughing at that situation. He was, at that time, it was a player coming on the park as a substitute at the time, and because McManus was injured, it was taking so long, and the player was standing at the edge of the pitch, and he was running on the spot very fast. And he turned and then looked at McCoist, and McCoist was backing at him. The simple fact, he'd be standing there for ages, running on the spot. He was not laughing at the situation.
Well, I would say that Kuzan had to come off to get head treatment as well. So Kuzan was back off the pitch at this point. The Kuzan was standing beside McCoist.
Maybe that's what it was then, but I remember the fact that he wasn't laughing at the fact that McManus was lying.
But we don't know that, right?
I suggested that he may have been laughing at something else, however, he showed no concern for the situation.
A player who had played under in the Scotland setup was getting carried off completely unconscious, and he was standing beside the guy who actually committed this act. And I thought, okay, maybe it was a clash of heads. I thought it was maybe accidental, gave him the benefit of the doubt, until 2 minutes later he tried the same thing with Darren Lee. I have no doubt in my mind that McCoy told Kuzan, back on, do the same thing again. I want you to do the same thing. And you've seen the Kuzan's performances over the rest of the season, that his modus operandi is to fucking maim. He likes to stick the head in players, especially when they're no ready for it. It's not head on head, it's head to temple and head to side of head. It's a dangerous player in my opinion. And I think McCoist, I'm not going to say definitely said that, but I think they were quite happy when they attacked Steve McManus and Darren Lee in such a robust manner.
That's fair. That's so, the guy's opinion.
But back to hated puns. Puns you cannot, puns you think are munchers of a cock. There must be one or two of them, Thomas.
The person I hate, and I just think the guy's a horrible, evil person, is Graham Roberts.
Oh, I am.
I can't.
Sneaky bastard.
Is it?
Yeah.
You can see it in his face. The guy is just pure evil stuff with Joe Miller.
Yeah, Clyde. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, allegedly.
Turning over, trying to set me
Joe
up.
Yeah.
Not
good.
But he's an evil, evil bastard, in my opinion. And yeah.
Fuck him.
That's him. I can't stand him. I wish him all the despair in the world.
You know, funny that, there's one player we never mentioned, and one player possibly, out of all these players we've mentioned, we should really hate more than anybody.
Barry Ferguson.
Not Barry Ferguson's a Rangers man, he's not.
Graham Souness?
Worse.
David Moore?
Worse. Who's the one player that would never, you know, if he came back into Celtic Park and Ibrox?
Morris Johnson.
That's the one.
No, see, I've not got a gripe with Morris Johnson.
I certainly have.
The reason I've not got a gripe with Morris Johnson, again, Celtic at that time were lagging behind and offering this guy money. He hadn't even signed a contract. He gave him
a contract. Sign a contract.
No, obviously he didn't sign
a contract.
He didn't
sign a contract. Celtic tore it up because Morris Johnson said he came back in after signing with Celtic. And he came out there recently. He actually did sign a contract with Celtic, and Celtic covered up for a number of years because Morris Johnson came back in at them and said, "Do you know what? I've had a change of heart. I'm staying with Nantes in France. My wife and my wee daughter are quite settled here, so I've made a mistake. I want to stay with Nantes." So Celtic looked, you know, it looked quite bad for Celtic then, you know, Kerr decided it turned in. So we thought, we'll tear the contract up, we'll see no more of it.
Alright.
A couple of days later, joins Rangers. Celtic couldn't then commit and go, by the way, we destroyed our contract with this guy, walked straight into Rangers. So they made them look even more incompetent.
Yeah, well, I did not know that.
Morris Johnson fucked us. Morris Johnson was one of the reasons it put us right back. We were ready to fucking pay him a shitload of money. Come back and spearhead our attack for the future, and that could have possibly helped us stay closer to Rangers than we did for the next 5-6 years. We were fucking nowhere near them because Morris Johnson delivered a body blow to a club he supposedly loves. He's a fucking wank's name in my book. Would not be accepted back to Celtic Park as an ex-player. The Huns hated him. We hate him for different. We don't hate him for superior reasons. We hate him because he fucking stitched us up.
Yeah, he embarrassed us.
He made us look like fans in front of the world.
Well, I didn't know that about the contract.
Scumbag.
That was only the impression as a player.
But even for instance, like Tottenham said, there was no contract signed, but a deal had been agreed in principle.
Well,
if you're a Celtic man, if you're a diehard Celtic man, it's the guy that ran off. After being sent after a cup final, blessed himself in front of that.
He is a prick.
Yeah, that's not a legend. He is a prick.
I don't know that.
But
to the point where he's exiled in America.
To the point where he couldn't come back now to play in any of these games. No Celtic fan that I know would want to do him any damage, but I don't want to see him anywhere near Celtic Park because he's one of the reasons that kept us down for so fucking long. And if you're a Celtic man, no matter what money you're offered, you're never going to be the poorhouse, right? He's never going to be, him and his family are never going to be hunting about for bread, because he made millions playing in France, and he made millions playing for Celtic again. He'd never even broke. But he chose to fucking go and play for Rangers to get a few extra quid. Absolutely despicable.
I have to say, I can't really agree with anything you're saying there.
You can't agree?
I can't disagree with anything
you're saying. What a fucking Morris Johnson apologist here. Good grief. Right, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about best haircut in a Celtic player ever. I've got to throw that one in there. Who's the best haircut you've ever seen in a Celtic player?
The best haircut I've seen playing against Celtic is Drew Jarvie, I have to say.
Drew Jarvie, the legendary haircut. Started the one year and finished the other year, didn't
it? The best haircut for a Celtic
player. I could say Big Roy, big Shirley Temple back in the 70s when he had that massive fucking bubbling turn. Looked rather bit ridiculous, but a lot of those with bubbling turns, Johnny Galeo and David Craig, and these like furry turns. I like Michael McLeod's haircut, because it looked as if he was wearing some sort of blonde wavy helmet. Now that might sound a bit dodgy, but I like his hair. I was like Michael McLeod's hair.
Well, the old right clip.
I did actually. I
ran your fingers too.
I did because I got Timothy look a bit of.
straight
for under a fucking fountain somewhere in the glens.
Well, I think it was a Bosine region.
Possibly. But it'd be a beautiful, lustrous finish to it. So, Murdo, well done, mate. I like your hair.
Remember that haircut? It must have been a mess. And that's why I had to come out with this type of haircut. But it was a. Stephen Mahe. Came out with his head shape.
That's actually known as done by your blind bub haircut.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was a bad one.
What about Maggie Zerarsky?
Oh, Maggie Zerarsky is Albanian from the 70s look. Not a pretty sight.
Terrible.
No, it was terrible.
And it matched his on-field performance.
It did, yeah. It did.
Much as you actually, his name will live long in infamy.
And Rico Anoni's hair was a bit dodgy.
It was actually, he had sideburns but no hair for him enough.
That's right.
What I would say is, one other guy I liked, and I'm going for some sort of term kind of thing here, is Paul Elliott's Super Soul Glow hair.
Spray on hair.
Let your soul glow. Great hair.
Oh, brilliant.
Anybody else?
Bobby Lennon has a funky wee haircut.
He did actually until about 1980 when he got a bit his hair started going, so he was a wee bit bald after a while, Bobby. But no, a fine haircut.
And Davy Proven had a fine mullet.
Davy Proven looked like fucking Doyle at the Professionals. He'd won any haircuts. Well, that's just about all we've got time for this month, or this 6 month or a year or whatever. We're going to be trying to bring this to you on a more regular basis, but for the moment, I think that's about it.
Well, I think I enjoyed that, talking about the old Celtic and slating the current bun, yeah. So, yeah, let's hope we do it very soon, and this reaches a huge number of people who want to listen to this guff.
Yeah.
And it's been very enjoyable.
I'd like to say thank you for listening. I've been George Patterson, Andrew Reid, and Thomas Reid.
You've been three guys? Have you?
Split personality.
My name is Sybil. Basically, we are the Brown Arrow Celtic Supporters Club, and you've been listening to the Dugout. Adios.
See you later.